May be seated. In trying to understand Unitarian Universalism, I visited All Souls, New York when I was in town for Easter one year. I learned two things that day. One was that Unitarian Universalist congregations are not the same as each other. And the other is that sometimes the planned sermon gets scrapped due to world events. Terry Schiavo had just died, and Reverend Forrest Church spoke to the meaning of life, literally, in response to this event. If I were a true certified and called minister, I would have thrown away anything that I had written before the weekend and would speak to Trayvon Martin. As things stand, though, I am the secretary of the board of a congregation whose called minister is on furlough. So I will make reference to this event, but am not able to do it justice. There are members of this congregation who are here because of the Reverends Manuel and Hubble's response to 9/11. And there are members of this congregation who are here in part because they found other congregations' responses lacking. Other events, smaller in scope than that one, but significant enough to change the topic, include the shooting at the UU Church in Knoxville and the like. This may be one of those watershed moments, and I don't want someone to go away thinking that such an event had not been addressed, but I don't have the creds to address it properly in this context. Fortunately, though, somebody handed me a note during the candle lighting ritual that there will be a rally for Trayvon Martin tomorrow, which is Monday, at 5 p.m. in McKeldin Square, downtown. I believe that's where the Occupy movement had been headquartered. But that's what's great about being UU. We're individuals and we poke each other to do things. So tomorrow, 5 p.m., McKeldin Square. I will say that other formative events in my UU upbringing include anti-racism, anti-oppression, so common in Unitarian Universalist Association trainings that it has an acronym, ARAO, at the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Restoration in Philadelphia, and also at the River Road Universalist Congregation in Bethesda. Young adult retreats and workshops that were held in cooperation with the Joseph Priestley District, or JPD, in an effort to bring enough people together to make the events self-sustaining. Self-sustaining was one of the JPD's favorite words when I was involved with them. Events were planned with great care to be budget neutral. These workshops had two focuses, one on recognizing one's own identity and the power inherent in aspects of one's identity in this culture, and the other on using that power, which everyone has some of, to try to make the game more fair, to tip the scales back to balance. Such an event could be a good experience that does tie many of our ten right things together. And what I recall is the JPD's focus on self-sustaining events is good to hold in mind while considering such things. To the 10 right things themselves, the first four right things, read by Marianne, deal with our interaction to the community outside of our walls. Judy Mayer has some words to say about the charrette process that is being used for these. Judy?
Hi. Our congregation at the 2020 Vision Conference decided that one of the top priorities would be the installation of a banner on the exterior of our sanctuary that would tell the world who we are and what we stand for. The Building and Grounds Committee, I am the chair of that, has been charged to bring this priority into being. In order to include everybody who wants to be involved in the banner creation, a charrette will be held on Saturday, April 28th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Now, a charrette is a process by which people come together to plan and create. We will actually be visioning and drawing our ideas for what the banner will look like and what it should say. We hope to create several different styles and concepts that we will take to some professional banner makers to finish for us. And then we're going to bring these concepts back to the congregation for them to look at and get feedback before a final decision is made. And the Board of Trustees will make the decision, the final call on which design will be the right one. If you want to be part of this process, and I please hope you will, look for an article about the Charrette in the April Beacon, and there also is going to be a sign-up table starting next week, April 1st, at coffee hour. And please, if you have a beautiful idea about our banner, please come to the Charrette.
I do want to take a moment, another moment, to thank the members of the 2020 committees, both before and after the conference itself, for the work they have performed. The following remarks would not have been possible without reports delivered by Margaret Schuster and others. I cite her specifically only because she was at this past Tuesday's meeting. I want to recognize the stewardship committee for performing great work on Right Thing Number F. Live a life of hope, trust, and abundance to project a welcoming atmosphere and energize our community. This had been the focus of the Cottage Party campaign. Together with Number I, fill the calendar with fun to get to know each other in different ways. The focus of the cottage parties was truly on getting to know each other and to have fun while, on the side, attempting to bring our congregation into the status of being self-sustaining. I hope that everyone knows that after this service, the Board of Trustees is hosting a budget meeting to report on the progress of that goal, being self-sustaining, and that all are welcome to attend and give feedback on the proposed solution. The 2020 conference itself was a focus of our calendar for many months. You'll remember that it was September 30th to October 2nd as a mulligan date because we wanted to do it right. And we did it right. There were more people there than there are here. And we did get to know each other in many ways. We built one-to-one personal relationships, and we got to know our congregation's roots as we remember them during the Friday evening portion of the conference. I hope that this foundation is carried forward during the charrettes that Judy spoke about, both for the sign project and for the social justice potential set of projects. If you have your calendar out, make a note of the date of the sign charrette, again that's April 28 at 9 a.m., and of the social action charrettes, April 1st, for real, April 8th, April 15th, April 22nd, which will culminate on May 12th, where there will be a selection of at least one theme for our entire congregation to focus on. We put the fun back into fundraising at the All Church Auction in the winter, and more recently at the St. Patrick's Parade, and I'm sure that there will be more fun to come. There were calls for a football viewing party in the Enoch Pratt Parish Hall, but the logistics couldn't be worked in time. So for next year, let's make that a goal. We want to watch football in the parish hall. And there is a periodic call for an all-church Orioles outing. And I know that sports is not everybody's thing, and professional sports especially is not everybody's thing. And I hesitate to call out Adrian, but I warned him that I was going to. Adrian historically has blessed young adults with last-minute Baltimore Symphony Orchestra ticket opportunities. And our community is composed of individuals like Adrian, and it's actions like that that build community. For that matter, the reason that I'm here in this particular congregation is probably because Adrian, Blake, and Heather regularly went to brunch and allowed me to accompany them. Number B, open the building all week to live our principles and raise resources. This isn't quite talking about weddings, but I understand that our building is about to see a ginormous rise in the number of weddings performed. It's hard to tell whether this is due to the market or to people stumbling through our parish hall and admiring the aesthetics of our recent investments in that facility. most weddings will be here in the sanctuary, or whether we're out there more, for instance, with the First Unitarian Church of Baltimore Facebook weddings page. This is one aspect of building use, but we also have had regular rentals from small, socially aware groups. Continued adult RE, that is religious education, programs also use the building, including the Rise Up and Call Her Name, a class that's been ongoing, and the Preaching Institute that is set to begin this Wednesday. Number G is to build caring networks in our congregation to foster a sense of generosity and share our talents. I left off the one about making sure that people know who's in charge of doing things. It is important that we know who is charged with doing things, but it's also important that we be empowered to do things ourselves. Ask more forgiveness and less permission. Some of our small networks, whether based on geography, identity, or special interest, are very strong. Many follow a cyclical or seasonal pattern. Geographical communities include the neighborhood circles. Some are really strong. Some could use somebody to say, I want to take this on. Identity groups include Interweave. Special interest groups include more than one book group. Ask around. There's more than one. News that someone could use special attention, that something is wrong with their health or that something happened in their family that's very important, that usually does make its way to the pastoral associates. A quick shout out to Donna DeShula and Dorian Coulter, who I understand to be the co-chairs of that group. But I think that members also know that they should, besides knowing who is charged with caring people, reach out themselves when they know that someone is in need. And I think that we're actually okay at that. The meditation group also meets regularly, and many committees act as small communities in and of themselves. Do you know of a group that you think should exist? Ask around, and maybe it does. Maybe it's something that it doesn't hurt to be doubled up like the book group. And if it doesn't, then start it. Be the change you want to see in the congregation. Finally, number J, investing in our children and youth because our spiritual home is for the whole family. I think that there might be a small misapprehension here, a small misunderstanding. This is not about helping RE to be effective for the People with Children ghetto. It might be better symbolized by events like this morning, the Mystery Buddies activity that culminated in breakfast. If you are motivated by free food, keep your ears open for this event again next year. And especially by the recent push from Emily, Carey, and other Youth Adult Committee, or YAC, which is not the Young Adult Group. Youth Adult Committee is about integrating youth into the congregation. Young adults are defined by the UUA as people who are 18 to 35. So YAG, or Young Adult Group, is not the same as Youth Adult Committee. We need more acronyms. But the YAC members have been pushing to change our church constitution and bylaws to include all of those whom our church acknowledges as adults. The resolution adopted at last Tuesday's Board of Trustees meeting reads as follows. Whereas the Youth Adult Committee, or YAC, has diligently researched the advisability of allowing youth to vote, and whereas the YAC has surveyed the congregation, winning the support of at least 65 members, and whereas the 5th UUA principle discusses the use of the democratic process, and whereas our own bylaws prohibit age-based discrimination, and whereas we acknowledge coming of age, COA, as a rite of passage into religious adulthood, the trustees of First Unitarian Church of Baltimore, Universalist and Unitarian, declare that it is advisable to amend Article 4 of the Congregational Constitution and Article 2, Section 4 of the bylaws in keeping with the YAC's recommendation in the following manner. Members of the church who have completed the coming of age program or who are 18 and then goes on to say can vote at meetings. The motion for the board passed unanimously, which means that this item will be, let it be announced, on the agenda for the congregational meeting, our annual meeting, the event at which we affirm that we are a community and at which we make our promises for the coming year to be held on April 22nd. We will have the opportunity to change who we are literally. May we change ourselves individually for the better, and may we continually improve ourselves as the congregation. Be it so.